You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is E-Commerce Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to E-Commerce Radio, your EPN channel where you can get in on the inside track and find out what others are doing to experience great results with their online stores. Whether it's the latest tools, e-commerce platforms, or marketing techniques, this is where we talk about how to have a successful e-commerce experience. Today on the program, we're speaking with Zach Leonard. He is the CPO, president, and co-founder of Gimba, where they help Amazon and e-commerce sellers design, research, manufacture, and promote products. And Mr. Leonard, thanks for joining us here today on E-Commerce Radio.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome, and I'm sure we're going to learn a few things from you today. So for starters, why is manufacturing outside of China so important?
Yeah, I think as you start to look at the landscape of the supply chain realm right now, there's a lot of uncertainty that's going on in China. And so as e-commerce brands or even retail brands, now it is a great opportunity to start, you know, diversifying that supply chain into regions that are outside of China, depending on the type of product that you have. So, you know, while logistics costs are, you know, couple-year lows, and countries like India and Vietnam and Mexico are hungry to take on more business. It's a great opportunity for, you know, product companies and e-com companies to start having that conversation and find out if there are suppliers in different countries that can help manufacture products potentially even at a lower cost. So I know with, you know, all the economic news and everything that's going on, I think now is the time.
I think it is, too, and some great information to get things underway here today. Now, how feasible is it to begin production outside of China? Is it also challenging and difficult?
It really is product specific. So, you know, if you're looking at products that are mostly electronics based, you're still going to be primarily manufacturing in China. But if you start to look at, you know, cut and sew products and, you know, some hard goods, you know, India and Mexico are great alternatives to that. Cut and sew also in Vietnam, you've started to see over the last couple of years a large shift out of China for, you know, larger brands like Nike and Adidas that have gone to places like India and China, or sorry, India and Vietnam. And so they built up the infrastructure and capability to be able to handle those types of products. The one thing that if you go to places like Mexico and Vietnam that you need to understand is where they're getting the raw materials from. And so Vietnam, for example, gets most, if not all, of their raw materials from places like India or China because they don't have the natural resources like India and China do. Whereas India, because they have, you know, a lot of their own natural resources, their own cotton mills, etc., they can do a lot of the sourcing of their, you know, raw materials from inside their state. So what that leads to is potentially, you know, from India's perspective, lower costs because their labor costs are also, you know, relatively speaking, 40 to 50% lower than China. But Vietnam, you know, while their labor costs are lower, they don't necessarily see those cost savings, you know, pushed through to the actual development of the product or the manufacturing of the product, because they have to import a lot of their goods. So just something to take into consideration when you are looking for a manufacturer outside of China is, you know, start off with where do you think they're getting the raw materials from? And then next is, you know, understanding how sustainable that supply chain ecosystem is, right? So if there's a country like India where they're not dependent on other countries to get the raw materials, then, you know, that like COVID shutdowns and stuff like that don't impact them. Whereas, you know, Vietnam, for example, if China does shut down and they don't have access to raw materials, it's going to drag out your production time. So those are all things to take into consideration when you do go into, you know, the sourcing or research phase of looking for an alternative factory, you know, outside of China.
Tremendous information in all regards. And a question and a concern here as well. How does one vet their manufacturers to avoid risk?
That's a great question. So, you know, at Gemba, we have a pretty robust process that we look at. We're looking at export records. We're looking at criminal behavior activity for the owners of the factory. We're looking at quality standards like ISO. And then, you know, we have teams locally that go to visit the factories and vet them in person. So we do kind of a two-step process. And I highly recommend, you know, within some degree, that type of process where you vet, you know, as much as you can ahead of time virtually, since it is quite expensive to, you know, go to these countries and spend time and, you know, have to hire a translator or whatever to talk to these factories. And then do everything you can virtually, which is, you know, looking at export records, criminal histories, talking to them, understanding what they make, getting pictures or catalogs of the products that are similar to what you're making. So you can kind of do all that stuff before you go to visit the factory. And then the second step would be to go visit the factory themselves and kind of vet and make sure that what they say on paper matches what is happening in reality.
Certainly some great information shared so far. Really appreciate your visit today. We're speaking with Zach Leonard. He is the CPO, president, and co-founder of Gimba, where they help Amazon and e-commerce sellers design, research, manufacture, and promote products here on e-commerce radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, tell us, what are some of the hurdles businesses face when trying to manufacture overseas?
Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle that most companies face is just making sure you have realistic expectations of timing. China is set up very well to give quotes back, do ODM in a much more rapid pace. Whereas, you know, countries like Mexico and India, the factory owners are going to want to see, you know, design files and actual physical samples of the product, which is a different process than, you know, China. China can, like, they can take a look at a picture and give you a relative cost sometimes, and it goes much quicker. So, you know, it's more about developing the relationship outside of China and making sure that it's a two-way street and you're vetting them correctly and they're vetting you correctly. And just having that understanding that you're going to need to bring more collateral to the table to talk with them and have a successful, you know, sourcing experience as a result of that. So I think that's a really big hurdle that, you know, people don't understand typically when they come to us, and they have this, you know, this expectation that it's going to go really fast. You can get quotes back within a few days, like how China's set up, but that's just not how it works in countries outside of China.
Good stuff. And another question for you as well. What are the key industries in each of these regions? Give us some information on that. That would be great.
Yeah, I think in India, metals, so, you know, more simple injection molded items, cut and sew items, so a lot of apparel, a lot of garments. In Vietnam, it's, you know, mostly cut and sew. They do some great furniture, a lot of athletic bags, athletic apparel. Mexico, they work primarily with large brands. They do a lot of contract manufacturing, so they can make a lot of different things, but the volumes that they're going to need to kind of sway the business is pretty high. And so, you know, they have a vast array of capabilities. It's just more of, do they have the capacity to take on a smaller project or not? And typically the answer is no. They want to look for, you know, larger brands that they can take up larger percentages of their supply or of their capacity within their factories.
Of course, we're trying to tap into the information well here and look forward to hearing your response on this. When people say, I want to go to India or Mexico to diversify outside of China, how does one find these manufacturers, and what advice do you have on this?
That's a great question. So, you know, first, with some shameless promotion here, I'd say go to Gemba first. But if you want to search outside of Gemba, it's not easy. I recommend, you know, working with someone local on the ground, whether it's a sourcing agent or someone who has really good knowledge of the factories. It's not as easily accessible via, you know, like a Google search or something like that. There are other tools out there. You can get export records like Panjiva, but they have a pretty hefty cost on the software to do that. So if you're looking for, you know, you know, more free tools and stuff like that, you can try Google, but it's just, it's not the best avenue to do that for factories outside of China. So I highly recommend it, you know, finding a someone who has local expertise and local knowledge and working with them, because they're going to know who the best factories are.
Certainly some sound advice. Can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today on e-commerce radio. Really appreciate what you do in this space on behalf of Gimba. Before you go, in conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a final word, or maybe a takeaway, or one last final bonus tip? That would be awesome.
No, I think, you know, I just want to, you know, leave on a positive note here that, you know, it can be very overwhelming to try and shift production. But I think, you know, if you take the right process and the right steps, and you work with really awesome factories around the world, you can really have an awesome experience and get the product into your consumer's hands at a much faster rate. So you have a plan A, which may be in China, but you have a plan B that's outside of China that can help, you know, offer better capacity or better timing for production. And ultimately, that's the name of the game, is to have a diversified, strong supply chain for your product, so that you never stock out, and you're consistently getting feedback from your customers to make version 2 and version 3 and build an awesome brand.
Well, I'm sure the light bulb has gone on for some of these folks, and you've certainly inspired listeners here today hearing all this. Really appreciate your time. And if listeners wanted to tap into Gimba and or to get more information, where's the best place to do so?
Yeah, you feel free to reach out. You can go to our website, www.gemba.com, GEMBAH.com, or feel free to, you know, hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm happy to help in any way that I can.
And of course, listeners, it goes without saying, we'll certainly leave these links within the show notes of this broadcast. Mr. Leonard, all the best. Thanks again for joining us here today on e-commerce radio.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, it certainly was our pleasure. Anytime, we've been speaking with Zach Leonard. He is the CPO, president, and co-founder of Gimba, where they help Amazon and e-commerce sellers design, research, manufacture, and promote products. And once again, for all the details, visit Gimba.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to e-commerce radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to e-commerce radio. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.